The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
The dam is breaking. Top Democratic Party leaders, this includes former and present administration officials, as well as major party donors, are now saying out loud what we've been hearing privately for days, that after what was a disastrous debate performance, they want President Biden to step aside.
I would say we've talked to literally dozens of House members. They're furious. They want Hakeem Jeffries, they want Chuck Schumer, the two Democratic leaders, to go in and talk to him and have a very serious conversation about getting out of the race. They believe, and I think they're right, that the Biden family and the Biden staff are trying to keep anybody who might make that case to Biden away from Biden.
That there's been a 3.5-year cover-up to try to keep Joe Biden away from other people so folks wouldn't see just how bad it is. What we saw on Thursday night was Joe Biden at his best, 7 days of rest, prep with his top staff. That was Joe Biden at his best. I've honestly stopped worrying about the campaign, and I have one question. Who's running the White House today?
It's also a huge shift for this White House that for 3.5 years up until this point insisted that nothing was wrong. Now suddenly they're here acknowledging the obvious, which is that, yes, the president has lost a step. He's not quite how he was even 4 years ago.
And as the explanation for why his debate performance was so bad, I find it a little bit puzzling, and frankly, I'm not sure that a lot of people are going to find this reassuring. If anything, some folks might hear this and be, even more concerned.
I think it's impossible, honestly, that he would somehow recover. I mean, there's no recovering from something like this.
What kind of impact do you think that would have on that race in particular and other down ballot races if Biden remains at the top of the ticket?
I think it would be brutal. Like, I don't think we can be polite right now and sugarcoat things. It will be brutal.
The issue for anybody who cares about this country, who thinks that Donald Trump is a true threat to democracy, and I'm one of them, knows that Joe Biden is not the best candidate to put up against Trump because Trump will win.
So who
so
is
the question
now?
Is, what do you do? Anybody with a pulse, any Democrat with a pulse.
You are now saying it is time for Joe Biden to step aside, and you are saying, and let Kamala Harris leave the ticket now.
I salute President Biden. I just feel that it's time for him to step aside.
Do you think he should drop out of the race?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we have a stable of folks that I think could do a better job, including Vice President Harris.
Would you support a Vice President Harris?
Calls for him to step aside and calls for his VP, Kamala Harris, to step in. And those calls are growing louder. In hours, President Biden will have lunch with the vice president. We also know the White House will soon hold an all-staff phone call. And there's also potentially a watershed moment today when Biden is meeting with a group of Democratic governors, some already expressing real concern.
One thing about the radical left, they sure do love election year chaos. Look at what they pulled off 4 years ago. In a lot of ways, you could say the Biden campaign chaos right now is the COVID of 2024. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. Lots and lots of content to get to here this morning or this afternoon or evening, whenever it is that you're watching the show. You can watch it at trumpetdaily.com or at the Rumble channel, rumble.com/Trumpet Daily. If you go to Rumble, make sure that you do give us the thumbs up. Tonight, the final show of the tour, at least the on-the-road tour for Celtic Throne. Just go to CelticThrone.com for information about getting tickets for the show in Amarillo, Texas. That's this evening. And then tomorrow, the cast and the crew, they come back to Edmond, Oklahoma, and we'll be having our final show this Sunday afternoon at Armstrong Auditorium, the building that you see behind me. Go to CelticThrone.com to get tickets for either one of those shows. So I think, you hear everything that's going over the news wires today. And the thing that that you just want to keep in mind is what is going on behind the scenes? How are they going to make the most of this crisis? I mean, they are running out of time. We're down to 125 days, I guess, before the presidential election. And in looking at that cold open, you would think that they're going to shift over to Kamala. They've had a week. And you know what's really, really also revealing about this Biden campaign chaos? They can't hide the truth anymore about Joe Biden, but it's also showing just how much the whole party looks to the dear leader, Barack Obama, just a few moments ago. Obama turning, that was on Drudge. Is Obama turning against Biden? What is Obama doing? What does Obama think? And now Drudge has since replaced that with a picture of Kamala. It's her party now. Now it's Kamala's party. But here again, just like with COVID in 2020, what is going on behind the scenes? How never let a crisis go to waste? That's what Rahm Emanuel said some years ago. And be assured, they're going to use this crisis to pull off some kind of nefarious activity. They always do. Now, the difference this time around is the desperation is on full display. And they're on a shortened time frame. And then also we know from Amos 7 that eventually the dear leader is going to be pushed aside. And that may already be happening. I mean, it's taken 5-6 days and you've seen the back and forth. We've played you the clips on this show. They all abandoned him last Thursday night after the debate was over. Then they started to defend him. Then some of them started to come around in support of Biden. And now it looks like they're back to throwing him under the bus. Now it looks like, I mean, something could happen in days, perhaps today. Who knows? I mean, he's meeting with Kamala at lunch. And then he's got the Zoom hookup with staff members, as well as the meeting with all of the governors as well, or at least a lot of the Democrat governors. The New York Times, this says Biden's lapses are said to be increasingly common and worrisome. You're also getting some reporting about how Biden's campaign or Biden's people have kept this hidden of all things. You know, they used COVID, by the way, not just to send out 100 million mail-in ballots. It was also meant to keep the man in the basement because he had dementia. And there he was in the basement and he had teleprompters for all of his interviews. There have been clips of this on online. They concealed this 4 years ago, and the regime media knows all about it. And so to hear the media now talking as if, well, this is on Biden's people. They've kept this from us. How dare they hide this? Something so serious. No, you were part of the cabal as well. All of the deceit. It's like we're living in George Orwell's 1984. Now the time, everybody's on board with it. We got to get rid of him. And of course, the driving force behind this, it's not even concern for Joe Biden or for the country. It's because they know they're going to lose. If it just continues to play out the way that it does, they know they'll lose. So it's all politics for these lunatics. It's all politics. It always comes down to that. But so much of the evil is being exposed. We've made this point over and again. It's in America Under Attack. How providential it was even that they stole the election in 2020. How preposterous, by the way, does it now look when you consider that 4 years ago, Joe Biden supposedly got 81 million votes. They know they're going to lose. They can't hide these lies for much longer. But as I say, they're going to use this chaos, I'm sure, to devise all kinds of other lies and to build this wall of deception. Listen to Ron Johnson as he's talking about the veil finally being lifted. Clip two.
But again, his decline is so significant that they can't hide it anymore, but they've been hiding it. I think that's the most significant thing people have to understand is the mainstream media, Democrats, Democrat members of Congress, Democrats, radical leftists in the media, they've been covering up for a mentally and physically and quite honestly integrity impaired president for years.
It's all a massive cover-up. And they're looking to the dear leader. What do we do next? He sent out the tweet last Friday showing, I guess, some tacit support for Joe Biden, saying everyone has a bad debate. But now, is Obama turning? That's what Drudge asked before. Now they've got Kamala on the front page, as I say, and they're even speculating on who her vice president will be. Sundance makes this point over at Conservative Treehouse, basically saying that this is a decision that Joe Biden's not going to be making. It's going to be made from the higher ups. We've wondered if maybe the Biden family will dig in their heels and stay the course no matter what the dear leader thinks. Sundance thinks otherwise. Clyburn and Barack Obama are the two Democrats who could unilaterally remove Joe Biden by withdrawing their support. It must frustrate Jill Biden to know that the Lightbringer and the Ballot Master have that kind of leverage over her appointments at Tiffany's. It says, as a result of this dynamic, we remind everyone to pay close attention to how Clyburn and Obama are indicating their position. Additionally, it's worth remembering how Obama and Clyburn agreed on Kamala Harris as the VP selection in 2020 and informed Joe Biden who would be on his ticket. They set it up in 2020, the dear leader. I mean, it seemed like a joke even back then, because an honest observer would look at Joe Biden and see that he was well beyond his past due date. They could see it. And then COVID, as I said, COVID was the perfect mask, no pun intended, the perfect mask to hide all of this, to hide Biden, to tuck him away in the basement. And if he did come out, you know, it was just a few people in the hula hoops. I mean, you look back on that and think, did this actually happen? They pulled it off. They scared the entire world with a virus that the United States helped create. Yeah, we were right there in the Wuhan lab working with the CCP. And then it's unleashed on the world. It was a bad flu. That's about the extent of it. And they stole the election using all of that scaremongering. It says here, additionally, it's worth, well, further on, during the MSNBC interview today, James Clyburn expressed support for Kamala Harris to ascend the top of the ticket if Biden makes the decision to remove himself. Keep in mind, Biden will not quit. The decision to exit will be made for Biden. And within the departure process, all deference will be given to the Biden group to shape their exit. We've got all these other reports where Hunter now this week, he's in all of these high-profile meetings in the White House. You've got White House aides saying, what's Hunter doing here? Well, Hunter's, I mean, he's representing a lot of international businesses that want to make sure that they get a return on their investment into the Biden crime family. Hunter's also very concerned about being pardoned. He's going to need a pardon from his dad, maybe more than one. He's got another case coming up here for tax fraud. It says the Obama-Clyburn professionally Democratic power brokers within the DNC collective will make the decision. Well, if this is the case, I would say it's the dear leader who makes the decision. Unless, again, God does see fit to shove him out of the way, to remove him. He's not mentioned there in that second half of the prophecy in Amos 7. Jeroboam obviously is. And by the way, Donald Trump, he's been relatively quiet this week. As he's watching this, no doubt, he's watching the Democrat Party implode. This from the New York Times. I mentioned this earlier. Biden told Ally that he's weighing whether to continue in the race. Actually, this is another story. There's the one about Obama's concerns, and then this one about telling an ally, I'm not sure if I'm going to stay in the race or not. And now, of course, the talking heads are all over this, so you're hearing reports on this report. The New York Times, that's like, you know, that's the lead for so many of these agencies. That's the script that so many of them read from. The president's conversation is the first indication that he is seriously considering whether he can recover after a devastating performance on the debate stage in Atlanta. Biden told a key ally that he knows he may not be able to salvage his candidacy if he can't convince the public in the coming days that he's up for the job after a disastrous debate. So he's got a few more engagements. I think he's sitting down with George Stephanopoulos, although that's not going to be a live interview. So ABC will have the opportunity to help clean it up a little bit. That comes out, I believe, this weekend. But he knows every time he appears in public, he's got to hit it out of the park or else he's a goner. He may be a goner anyway. It says here after the article, well, it goes on and says how that he's got to basically bat 1,000 from here on out if he's going to survive politically. And again, when we see all of this chaos all around in the Democrat Party, just think about what they're doing quietly behind the scenes. They use COVID to change all the election laws. They use COVID to put the candidate that the dear leader chose in the basement. This is from the Washington Post. Obama shares concerns after shaky debate, offers Biden his advice. Former President Barack Obama has privately told allies who have reached out to him that President Biden's already tough path to re-election grew more challenging after his shaky debate performance on Thursday. You have to think that the dear leader is treading carefully right now, because the Democrat Party is in such disarray. They're all panicking. And if the dear leader says something, it's probably going to be leaked. So he's in a, as I said on yesterday's show, I mean, he's in a difficult position too, as he tries to salvage his legacy, as he tries to continue the fundamental transformation of the United States. He knows Trump would come in and destroy all of that, or at least much of it. Now, as I said at the personal appearance campaign in Phoenix, I mean, our sins, that's the cause for the many problems that we see all around. It's not the policies of one political party or the other. You turn on the evening news and you would think it's that. The one side saying, if Trump gets in, it's over. And then Trump supporters saying, if Obama were to continue through Biden or whoever, it's over. Well, there is a lot to be said about it being over. The United States, Herbert Armstrong talks about this in the United States and Britain in prophecy. The U.S. is a nation obviously in decline. I mean, there's still power there, but we've lost the pride that we once had in our power. And then we're just adding so much to the debt. We're opening the borders. We're just letting everything in, every kind of filth into our country. In a lot of ways, the southern border is like a perfect metaphor. That's what we've let in morally. Just any kind of sin, any kind of filth, we welcome it. We love it. We celebrate it. It says here, as some Democrats call for Biden to drop out of the presidential race amid widespread panic, Obama has not voiced that conclusion. He sees his role as being helpful to Biden based on their history of working together, the people said. It says, on Friday, Obama appeared at a fundraiser in New York for House Democrats, where he expressed support for Biden. He sent out the tweet that same day, remember? But for months, Obama has shared with Biden and friends his deep concerns about Trump's political strengths and the real possibility he is elected again in November. Talks about all the private meetings he's been having with Biden. He's running the show. He's the president, the shadow president. Obama discussed at a recent meeting with Biden, Obama discussed the need for Biden to empower his campaign apparatus, suggesting he instill a more senior level decision maker at the Wilmington headquarters. The next month, Jennifer O'Malley, Dylan and Mike Donilon left the White House to serve as campaign chair and chief strategist, respectively. So Obama said, hey, you need this, this, and this. And Biden complied. Biden follows the orders. Again, how telling. Just in the past week, like Ron Johnson said, I mean, the veil's been lifted. You see exactly who's there in the Oval Office. And you also see who the entire Democrat Party looks to for leadership, for guidance. That would be the dear leader. That would be Barack Obama. But this could be the beginning. Maybe, judging by Drudge and some of these other headlines, maybe the real story from a prophetic standpoint is that Barack Obama is losing his grip on power. perhaps he's about to leave the scene. I mean, the pressure on the party, the pressure on these radicals, it's coming from every angle. You've got the collection of Democrats in Congress that are saying, hey, we got to do something, as you heard in that cold open. You've got others around Biden, even in the White House. And then, of course, you've got Democrats across the country saying we need to go in a different direction. This is from Reuters. 1 in 3 Democrats think U.S. President Joe Biden should end his reelection bid following last week's debate. 1 in 3 in their own party. That's 33%. It says here the 2-day poll found that both Trump and Biden maintained the support of 40% of registered voters, suggesting that Biden has not lost ground since the debate. Among the names of top Democrats put before respondents, only Michelle Obama, wife of former Democratic President Barack Obama, outperformed Biden and led Trump 50-39% in a hypothetical matchup. So Michelle Obama, I mean, how perfect would that be? You talk about the Antiochus movement squaring off against the Jeroboam movement. We're not here to make any predictions, but this is election year chaos. And the Democrats have come to really see the value in these kinds of smokescreens. Think of what's going on behind the scenes. This one here from Politico. Over the course of his presidency, Joe Biden's small clutch of advisors have built an increasingly protective circle around him, limiting his exposure to the media and outside advice. An effort to manage public perceptions of the oldest person to ever hold the office and tightly control his political operation. This is Politico basically blaming it on Biden's people, Biden's handlers. They've carefully concealed this from us, even the media. I mean, how could they be dishonest? No, you're part of the problem, Politico. You knew. They all knew. They knew when he was in the basement. Says here, but inside the White House, Biden's growing limitations were becoming apparent long before his meltdown in last week's debate. Well, there's your story right there. There's the headline. This was going on long before the debate. So America's been lied to. They're good at lying, particularly when it's an election year. You do whatever you can to get Trump, to keep Trump out. By the way, Trump, the Mershon trial in Manhattan, it was announced yesterday that the sentencing wouldn't be until, I think, mid-September. So it went from mid-July to mid-September as they try to extract themselves from all the lawfare that's collapsing all around them. The strategy to get Trump, to put him in jail, to put him in prison. And then you can imagine just how much vicious, visceral hatred that these people have for the Supreme Court. One of them calling, I'll get to the clips later if I have time, but one of them calling the Supreme Court Donald Trump's law firm. Their heads are exploding because they fear losing. They fear losing their grip on power. My father wrote it. He wrote it back in 2018. I mean, what we're seeing, you saw the way they persecuted Trump during his first term. We're getting a hard look at what the radical left is willing to do to hold on to power, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. It says here, the official said, this is that Politico piece, he doesn't take advice from anyone other than those few top aides, and now one of them's Hunter, unbelievably. And it becomes a perfect storm because he just gets more and more isolated from their efforts to control it. As a Democratic strategist in a battleground state put it, the number of people who have access to the president has gotten smaller and smaller and smaller. They've been digging deeper into the bunker for months now. And, the strategist said, the more you get into the bunker, the less you listen to anyone. So the problem now, well, it's the Bidens. The problem now, it's his handlers. It's the circle of support that he has there in the White House, even as the rest in the Democrat Party throw him under the bus. This one from the New York Times. Wealthy Democrat donors who believe a different nominee would be the party's best chance to hold the White House are increasingly gritting their teeth in silence about President Biden, fearful that any move against him could backfire. So they're treading softly as well. So is the dear leader. They want to make sure they manage or say things just so, because there's a lot riding on this election, in case you didn't know. This is that bit regarding Hunter. It's from the New York Post. First son Hunter Biden has been joining West Wing meetings with his father since President Biden returned to the White House on Monday. Hunter was there at Camp David with him as well, helping him with debate prep. I thought that one guy in the cold open made a good point. What we saw there, I know Biden's people are out there saying, well, he was traveling around the world right before the debate. He was in Europe. He was in France, in Italy, and he came back. He was exhausted. And they didn't prepare him well. He came back like 2 weeks before the debate, and then he had 7 days at Camp David. And the New York Times is reporting that his daily routine was to get up around 11 and then to take a nap a few hours later. I mean, this is unbelievable. It's like we're living in the Twilight Zone. And then these people, the regime media, that carefully constructs this narrative and lies through their teeth for years. And then they're exposed, and then they say, oh, it's Biden's people. It's Biden's people who've shielded us from the truth. Hunter Biden now, he's in on all the big meetings. Hunter doesn't trust his father's old guard of aides, one source told the Post. I think Hunter wants to be there, and POTUS isn't going to say no. Well, POTUS probably wants him in there, too, because according to him, Hunter's the smartest guy he's ever known. It says one NBC source said the internal reaction among aides was, what is happening, after the first son popped into multiple meetings and phone calls. Listen to this from MSNBC and Fox News, clip 10.
We're now learning that Hunter Biden is attending some of the president's meetings at the White House, staying close to his father post-debate.
We have learned from sources familiar with the situation at the White House that Hunter Biden has been by his father's side ever since they were at Camp David this weekend as a family, where they had some discussions about the president's potential path forward here and his reelection campaign, and that since he returned from Camp David last evening with his father, we understand that Hunter Biden has even joined some meetings and conversations that have taken place between the president and some of his most senior advisors and senior staff.
What I can say is that he came back with his dad from Camp David. He walked him into the speech prep, and he was in the room. That I can tell you, he was in the room. Anything else coming out of that reporting, I can't speak to, but I can say that, you know, he's close to his family, which is not unusual.
Yeah, Hunter's in the room with American foreign policy experts and with doing debate prep. Do you feel better about that? Hunter Biden's now Joe's right-hand man. He's the smartest guy he knows, remember? You can't make this up. Hunter should be nowhere near the White House. I think we all can agree on that, Democrats and Republicans, let alone being one of the president's top advisors, listening in on phone calls with other leaders.
But here again, if you just look through the laptop, you see that this is perfectly normal for the Biden crime family. Here's yet another. They're upset about it now, but we knew this. Hunter, he brings in all of his business associates, or he puts dad on the phone to make sure they get their money, to make sure these transactions are completed so that everyone in the Biden family gets their money wired to them. It is. You can't make this up, just like he noted there. You can't. It really and truly is like being in the Twilight Zone. We have a lot more to get to when we come back. We'll give you the reaction, the continuous reaction. I mean, it's Wednesday now, and the Supreme Court made the decision on immunity, as well as other ones last week, that really do favor Donald Trump and his incoming administration, if we can put it that way. But their heads are exploding on all the networks because of the Supreme Court, not because of what Trump might do, as I said on yesterday's show, should he become a king-like president. It's because they know it destroys their lawfare strategy. Everything is breaking down. One commentator said, this is the best week ever for Donald Trump. No wonder he's laying low. No wonder you haven't heard from him much. He just let Biden show up at the debate and start talking. And it does everything you need right there. And evidently he's taken that approach with just his activities this week. I mean, it's also, a holiday week with July 4th tomorrow. As I say, we'll play you some of the clips of the regime media's reaction to the Supreme Court's actions from earlier this week. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Daily news, Bible prophecy. See the connection on the Trumpet Daily. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the flood of news and information? You need something to sift the news and bring you only what matters most. You need the Trumpet Daily. You also need something to help you understand not just what's happening now, but what will happen next. You need the Trumpet Daily. Only the Trumpet Daily accurately matches daily news to precise Bible prophecies. Because Bible prophecy is the only tool up to the task of sifting the news down to what's important and showing you what will happen next. Join host Stephen Fleury every weekday. Go to trumpetdaily.com.
Look, I think one of the reasons we're in the democracy crisis we are in right now to begin with is because for most of the 21st century, what the American people have witnessed is that the powerful seem to be able to get away with anything. But those who play by the rules and work hard are the ones who pay the consequences when things don't work well. That lack of accountability by the powerful has been a galvanizing political force over the last 15 to 20 years. And right now, the one person who is benefiting most from a system in which the powerful are not held to account when they violate the rules is Donald Trump and the president. And I think that is a fairly simple thing for people to understand. If you'd done what he'd done, you'd be in jail for it. But different rules apply to him. And if you don't like that, don't vote that way.
Sure. The system is rigged in favor of Donald Trump. Let's just look at these two families, as I alluded to in the first segment. I mean, the Trump people, they're traveling the world, making deals internationally. But you can see their properties, their resorts, their golf courses. They are actually building something. They're actually producing. There's an actual business there. Not so with the Bidens. And yet the millions, tens of millions, are just flowing into the Biden crime family. For what? What's their product? What are they selling? What are they building? Nothing. That guy's right. The system is rigged. It's rigged to favor the Bidens, the Obamas, the Clintons. They have made money hand over fist and haven't done. What has Barack Obama done in his life? I mean, what has he actually produced besides a couple of books that were probably written for him? But what is his product? What's his business? These are professional politicians that spend your money and make tens of millions for themselves. The Pelosis, the Schumers, you can add them all to the list. And here you have the one family. Yes, the Trump family is wealthy. But you walk through Mar-a-Lago, as I was telling you a couple weeks ago, you walk through one of those resorts and you see something. You see that they're actually doing something with their investments. And a lot of people love it. And a lot of people, as we know, also lie about it. And somehow they try to tell you that the Trump family has been a failure in business, a failure in life, that they don't pay their bills, that they don't do this or they do that. Listen to this from MSNBC, coming back to the Supreme Court, clip 6.
Listen, I'm really angry and I'm scared. And let me start with scared. I disagree slightly with Ian because I worry that voters will not fully comprehend what the Supreme Court just handed Donald Trump. This trial is not going to occur before the election. And frankly, the lower court sorting out official acts from non-official acts, making sure you can't use any official acts to prove motive, making sure that the evidence of any official acts that would go towards the crime can't be admitted. But all of that will happen after, it will all come to rest after November 2nd. And I wish I believed that voters would understand that their power, it was taken away. Their freedom was taken away in Dobbs. This is a whole nother level of power grabbing from the people that the court has just done. Now, angry, the nerve of these guys to talk about being textualist, talk about, I mean, the lengths that Thomas went to say that for gun regulations, there had to be something about domestic violence in the founding document. And then they do this when the entire premise of our country was to make sure there was never a king. The entire premise of why we exist is to give power to the people and not to a president. So I'm angry at these hypocrites. This is the most activist court I have ever seen.
Her head exploding because of this so-called activist court. She said the quiet part out loud early on in that clip. We should have condensed it, by the way, because quite a bit of it's boring. But she said this trial's not going to occur before the election. It's all about the election. It's all politics. It's all about staying in power. And they see now what we've been telling you for years. And yes, we were surprised that the Supreme Court didn't do more in 2020, given all the evidence of fraud. But now, I mean, now they, and it's the same people. I mean, Donald Trump's the one who's appointed those three that's given him that solid majority in the court, in the Supreme Court. It is true. It is true that it's a conservative majority. And it terrifies people like what you just saw there. Meanwhile, look at how they use the courts. Look at how they abuse the courts. Look at how lawless they are with their attorneys. Politico says Democratic attorneys around the country are already gearing up for the possibility of a second Trump administration by beginning to map out an aggressive legal strategy to fight him again in court, this time with a fresh sense of urgency. He's not even in power yet. And they've already got this Trump-proof strategy. Okay, if he returns to power, we're going to use attorneys, we're going to use activist judges, we're going to use everything in our power to resist. Because he's Hitler. This is how we use the judicial system. We use it to persecute our opponents. And how dare the Supreme Court, how dare the Supreme Court fight against that? Or reverse any of those decisions we get down on the lower level. Democratic attorneys general are exploring hiring outside experts and dispatching staff to study areas of the law anticipated to come under attack, like reproductive health, immigration, and the environment. I mean, they're hard at work. They're studying laws. They're seeing what they can twist and distort so they can attack Trump, get Trump. These people are deranged. I mean, this is that you've heard of Trump derangement syndrome. Now we've got the Supreme Court derangement syndrome. Their heads just explode at the thought of conservatives actually putting an end to this lawfare craziness. They are identifying staff members best equipped to fight assertions of executive privilege, which Trump invoked in his most high-profile controversies, and states best positioned to lead bigger cases, more lawfare. If we can't get these indictments to go forward before the election, well, we've got to look at how we can slow him down in court after he's elected. These people will never stop until you put them in jail for committing the crimes that they're committing. They'll never stop. They keep getting away with this treason. The early but serious preparations are an acknowledgement that a second Trump presidency would entail these lawyers filing lawsuit after lawsuit against the federal government to mitigate what they view as a significant threat to democracy and individual rights. Well, Politico's on board with this. They won't There will be no moments for reflection over hiding the dementia. And then they fully understand that we've got to get Trump. What's happening in private conversations inside Democratic Attorney General offices is part of a broader nationwide effort to Trump-proof programs and services believed to be targeted by Trump and his allies. Attorneys General will be key to those efforts. You see, if only Republican Attorneys General had this kind of fighting spirit, there's a few exceptions, like Ken Paxton down in Texas. But for the most part, you know, they give Obama a pass. They turn a blind eye to the crimes of the Bidens, the Clintons, the Pelosis. This is also, I think, from MSNBC, clip 7.
You know, Michael Steele, you grew up in the Republican Party, and there's been this originalist strain that has, organized the party for a really long time. The idea that the Constitution is not living, it is dead, and that you only essentially have the rights that you had when Thomas Jefferson was alive and nothing more. And that to go back to that is the only way to really appreciate the Constitution. But now we have justices who have invented something new, something I don't think the framers intended, to say that the framers, according to them, intended for the president to have king-like powers. The powers of King George are now essentially in the hands of the American president. How ironic is that for originalists to be also monarchists?
I just love how they're already talking as if Donald Trump is president. He's abusing his power. He's got the power of a king. He's not even in the White House yet. We're still 4 months away from it. And they speak as if Donald Trump is this great monarch. Well, like I told you on yesterday's show, it's pretty amazing that they're even using that terminology, given what the Bible says about the person coming in that spirit of Jeroboam. Jeroboam was a king anciently. And there was some time of prosperity and growth for Israel during his reign. Here's MSNBC again going on and on about how this is an illegitimate court, clip 11.
This court has lost its legitimacy. So we no longer have a court system that's, in my view, a legitimate court system. They were appointed with lots and lots of money from the Federalist Society. Two of them are clearly corrupt and taking money from people who sometimes are involved in matters that come before them. The remaining justices that on the Republican side are partisan Republicans that have previously been involved, as Justice Roberts was, stealing the election in Florida. So we have no court system now as of that decision that is reliable, and we don't have a democracy that's reliable. So this is no longer a matter of saving democracy. This is a matter of restoring democracy. The court has to be completely revised, but we no longer live in a democracy, technically, because we no longer have a functioning court system.
We have no court system. I think that's Howard Dean, if I'm not mistaken. He looks a little bit older, but we need to play the Dean scream at the end of every one of his clips. Not that we use his clips a lot, but there he is saying that the courts, there's no longer a judicial system in America, and no democracy. Yeah, it's all gone because of this one ruling. This ruling coming out from the Supreme Court. If they get one ruling they don't like, this is how they react. This is how they respond. They talk about Trump being a sore loser. Wow. No judicial system and no democracy. It's no longer a matter of saving democracy. We gotta, I guess, restore it. We've gotta bring it back. Here's one more from MSNBC, clip 8.
This is like Project 2025. The prophecy come to life now, even before winning any kind of election here. And the thing I tell listeners, Project 2025 is the GOP's version of Mein Kampf. The difference is Mein Kampf is only 700 pages. Project 2025 is 900 pages, wants to control all of our lives. And this Supreme Court is now putting that into effect through the bench. And we live in the United States of a Supreme Court that is the greatest law firm for Donald Trump in the world. It's a law firm of Roberts, Alito, and Thomas and Associates. They delivered a win for him on the January 6th case, maybe even the New York case and the Fulton County case at the same time.
they see the lawfare strategy imploding, and they react like that, as you see there. That's MSNBC going on and on about Mein Kampf, of all things, Project 2025. It's like Hitler's Mein Kampf. I think we've heard that hot take before. What they're terrified of is Donald Trump, a Trump administration, and the kingdom's court. They're terrified that they'll get in there and start to dismantle the administrative state, the deep state, that they'll get in there and they'll start to clean up the swamp. Listen to this one from Fox Business, clip 4.
What you've got is the administrative state, unelected administrative state. And I, you know, I've been served at the highest levels there in DOD, and they are running the show, and they're grinding their own axes. They're doing what, you know, they want to do with their political agendas and all of that. And their number one goal, the Biden administration's number one goal, is to maintain power right now. And so that's really why they don't care about the country. They want to maintain power.
Here again, that's exactly what my father wrote back in that 2018 Trumpet article. If you're not a subscriber to the Trumpet, by the way, here's an issue from last year. But you can subscribe freely. There's no cost, no obligation. Just call the 800 number on our screen, your screen, 1-866-930-3024. You can email the show, td@thetrumpet.com, and get a free one-year subscription to The Trumpet magazine. There's no cost, no obligation. They're terrified, as I say, at the thought of the administrative state being dismantled. They're terrified at the thought of losing their power, losing their power. I mentioned earlier how this has just been a fantastic week for Donald Trump. This is that point being made again at Fox Business, clip 3.
President Trump has had a perfect week, not only from the debate, but the Supreme Court ruling. And what you see now is a Ripley effect. All these political cases that were motivated by politics and not justice are on life support. They are dead on arrival. It's been a great week. None of these cases will have any effect prior to the election in November when Trump becomes president, Larry.
All of the cases are on life support. The fake president, you could say, is on life support. The Democrat Party, in many ways, is on life support. I think it was John Bolton who had an op-ed at the Telegraph a few days ago, basically saying, following the debate, I mean, this may be the end of the Democrat Party. Barack Obama, in some ways, you could say Barack Obama is on life support as well. There is a real spirit world. We know about Satan and his demon army and how they're now confined to this earth, but we also know about God in heaven above, who will fulfill his plan, his purpose in the lead up to his son's return to this earth, the second coming of Jesus Christ. God is intervening on the affairs of mankind. He's intervening on the affairs of the United States. But we've also got to be honest with you about the short term. It's not going to get better over the long term. It's just not going to happen. The United States and Britain in prophecy lays it all out there for you. Like I said at that PAC appearance, I mean, you don't want to let a political movement or a politician or one leader, you don't want it to get you into a spirit of complacency to where you think that, well, because of this election or because of this leader, everything is fixed. Again, I would encourage you to request the United States and Britain in Prophecy, just like the Trumpet subscription. Everything that we offer on this show is offered without cost or obligation. A few emails that have come in recent days. It says, I have one question. How could a loving wife ever allow and participate in her husband being treated in such a deplorable manner? How sad. This is, this debate showed how we desperately need the return of our loving husband, Jesus Christ. Yes, indeed. That's what all of this shows. This is when Christ returns. That's when everyone on earth will begin to not just paste the Ten Commandments on the wall of a classroom, But we'll be living by the Ten Commandments. No more bearing false witness. No more lying and stealing and cheating. No more fake narratives. No more hoaxes. And no more sickness and disease either. Over time, I mean, it's going to, like Mr. Armstrong said, it's going to take a few generations to eradicate all of these sins and diseases, both physical and spiritual, from our midst. It's going to be a wonderful world tomorrow. Mr. Armstrong has another book that goes by that title. There is hope for mankind. There is hope for this civilization. And that hope is in the family of God. That's the new civilization that's coming. That's the new civilization that's about to spread over all the earth. Another emailer says, too bad that we've had to put up with Biden for the last 3.5 years. The U.S. is becoming a third world country. Hopefully Trump can win it. We could have been light years ahead already. Hopefully the eternal will not tarry too many more years. Principalities and powers of darkness are very strong these days. Yes, that's discussed over in Ephesians 6. This is why we need the full armor of God. Our latest royal vision, by the way, has that theme throughout, how that we need to acquire that warlike spirit, spiritually speaking, and how that we need to put on the whole armor of God and be ready for battle every day. Be ready for the battlefield. Be ready to go up against our adversary, the devil. It's a great study, Ephesians 6. This one here says, Trump was measured and reserved and Biden was totally defensive. And just based on that, he loses. Speaking of Biden, again, that's commenting on the debate. This one here says, Mr. Palmer, thank you for filling in for Mr. Flory. I always enjoy your presentations. You are well-informed and quite a good interviewer. I'm looking forward to meeting you someday soon. Keep on keeping on. This in response to Mr. Palmer filling in for me on, I think it was last Thursday's program, right here at the Trumpet Daily. Another one here says, wow, thank you, Richard Palmer, for a multi-dexterous show. There you go. It was a combine of interviews with two of the of Trumpet Hour guests and a very clear Bible study on Daniel, Psalm 83. It says, for a while, I felt like I was in a Sabbath service. So Mr. Palmer took him right to services, to church. There's another long one here. Maybe I'll save that for another day, as it's someone that attended the Celtic Throne performance in Irvine, California, and was just blown away by it. They had seen, she and her husband had seen the show many times online, but this was the first time that they saw it live. I spoke with someone at Phoenix, same thing. Saw the show many times on video, but to see it live for the first time, it's quite an experience. And you've got two more opportunities to see it, at least this season. And that would be at Amarillo, Texas. That's tonight. And then Sunday afternoon, right here on campus at Edmond, Oklahoma, the auditorium, Armstrong Auditorium in Edmond, Oklahoma. One more email here. It says, thank you for sharing the video of Juniper busily digging. Is she helping with one of God's building projects? It says, loved her cameo appearance at the end of the program. All of God's created creatures are a testament to his perfection. Thank you for loving animals. I forget which show that was, but it was on Bring Your Dog to Work Day. And we did it. We did it. We've got to have that. As well as the Dean Scream, we need the footage of Juniper enjoying her time right here on the Trumpet Daily desk. We look forward to bringing her to work again next year. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again next time.